three different parts. Like basically the beginning will just be like your early life, and then the middle will be like your college career, stuff like that. And then after that will be like your pro experiences, and then also basically like what you're doing now.
Oh yeah, sounds good.
So get started, but before I get to any real questions, like I read you're a Dolphins fan.
I was, bro. I don't like the NFL anymore. Ever since I experienced it, I can't follow a team anymore. I just kind of enjoy watching football. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. But, like, I was so confused because, like, I read it and it was like, well, I grew up in New Jersey. I'm a Dolphins fan. And I was like, what? Like, I was so confused.
Yeah, it is weird. I got family out in Florida, and I think my dad – he used to go check out a lot of Dolphins games with his cousin.
Okay.
And I think that's like, you know, when they have Marino and all that. So that was in their prime. He was a fan.
All right. That's cool. I was just so confused. Cause I was telling Mike, I was like, it just like, maybe there was a typo. Like, I don't know, but okay. That makes sense. Now that has background. But so like first things first, like what drew you to football? Like, did you grow up like just in an athletic family or what was it?
Yeah, so I mean, it was either like you played a sport or you did nothing. Like, you know what I mean? It was, but football was the one. So, like, my grandfather, he was an All-American running back in high school. He had an offer from just about every college in the country, but he chose to go to the military. He went to the same high school. My dad ended up going there, but I don't know if you guys remember Dwayne Jarrett, played for USC.
Names.
He was the all-time leading receiver in the conference. I guess they're in the Pac-12, right? So he's the Pac-12 leader until I think Robert Woods broke it like a couple of years ago. But it was like a big article of Dwayne and my grandfather in the newspaper. So, yeah, my grandfather, and then my dad ended up playing tight end and defensive end, which is what I played. And he had an offer from Nebraska when they were number one in the country. So, you know, that was – football just ran in my blood. And then he ended up going to Memphis University, then transferring and playing at Rutgers. And then he was with the Jets in a rookie mini camp, and I'm pretty sure he blew his back out. And then, yeah, I mean, my uncle, he's my high school's all-time leading scorer in basketball. He was also a quarterback. And then my dad was always my coach growing up. I started playing football in, like, fifth grade, so he coached me in flag, Pop Warner, all the way up until my freshman year of high school. And I played quarterback all the way up until the first game of my junior year. We got blown out. I got sacked like 9 times, and they just switched me to tight end, defensive end. I played special teams, and that's kind of when I had like a rocky year transitioning. And then my senior year of high school, I was all state, all county, all area, all conference for football, and then basketball. I was like all division, all area, and I want to say all conference. I wasn't all state in basketball, but I had offers for both sports. You know, what kind of drew me to football, though, was, like, the weight room aspect, just working out, you know, the, like, pump iron and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So.
That's awesome.
I know I liked you for a certain reason. You used to be a quarterback, that's why.
Yeah, bro, I just couldn't read defense worth a shit, so I would just hum it because I used to be able to throw like 75 yards, so I kind of had that Brett Favre mentality. It's either getting caught or getting picked.
Right, right. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, but that's like the coolest mentality out of all of them, man. Nothing like a gamer, you know?
Oh, yeah, I never threw the ball away once in my life.
Even Pat Mahomes is just saying how he didn't learn how to read coverages until like this past season.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's so scary. Like, he's just – like, if that's the case, he's just, like, probably going to be the best. Like, it's just insane to me.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. He'll go down as one of the best ever.
For sure, for sure. But so, obviously, you were a two-star athlete. in high school for basketball and football, obviously. What kind of offers were you getting to play, like, both sports? Because, like, obviously, I read a little bit more that you played both, but, like, you know, what offers were you getting?
So, for football, well, what screwed me in the end was I ended up with a 1.9 GPA because I wasn't dumb, but, like, I just couldn't have enough fun. So, I was always getting in trouble. I was always just, like, not paying attention in school, which everybody should do and needs to do if they're hearing this and they're younger than me. You have to do that shit because, you know, even though I ended up where I wanted to be, it was still a much rockier road than it needed to be. So I remember my first one was Boston College. The defensive line coach came in and worked me out in our weight room. He left after that. He saw my grades. He said, tell him best of luck. Temple came in, the defensive line coach. A lot of my offers were for D-end. He came in. He told me he was going to see me at my basketball game that night. This is during basketball season. He was going to offer me, you know, depending on how I looked. And obviously I would have assumed I would have easily gotten the offer because I, you know, I was dunking on people. I was doing all that kind of stuff. And then he went to my guidance counselor and he saw my GPA and he said, you know, same thing. Tell him good luck. I hope he lands somewhere he likes. So I never heard back from them. I had an offer to Houston. I had an offer to Mid-Tennessee State. I had a – one day I was just walking down the hall. My coach yelled behind – he's behind me. He's like, hey, Sal, you want to play in the SEC? I was like, yeah, like, obviously. And he was like, I just got you a full ride to Vanderbilt. He's like, you just got to finish off the year with, you know, a minimum of, like, B's. So in my head, all you hear is I just got a full ride to Vanderbilt. Like, the B's and getting the good grades just went out the other ear. So I had, you know, I had real good offers like that, Fordham, Monmouth. I ended up committing to Monmouth, and they told me 10 days before camp that they weren't going to like, the front office, whoever does the grades, they said they weren't going to allow me in. No matter how good my ACT score ended up being to qualify me. And then basketball was mainly a couple Division II offers, some NAIA. I think I had a letter from one Division I school. I can't remember, though, who it was.
Okay.
But yeah.
That's awesome. That's a lot of offers. Oh, you all right there, buddy?
Yeah, no. Fumble. All right, yeah, we're good.
But so I read that you ended up going to Kane University. I actually, like, almost, like, went there. So, like, what made you go to Kane at first and stay there for 2 years? Right, you stayed there for 2 years.
Yeah. So I played in the North South All Star Game, high school All Star Game, and it was held at Kane, and I was there, and, you know, none of the Kane coaches coached that game, but they're all around. You know, they got players in the game. But at the time, that's when I was committed to Monmouth. But I ended up, you know, bullshitting with the Kane coaches a lot. And their facilities were, like, next to none. Like, they were the training facilities, the, you know, the football field, the basketball arena, because I was playing both sports there as well at one point. You know, it was just a great facility wise. Like, you're there, you know nothing about it, but you see what they might have to offer. So that kind of, like, really drew my attention, you know what I mean? Especially since I really didn't have anywhere to go because I was going to the Hun, the prep school in New Jersey. And they were allowed at the time 6 post-grad players. And I was the 6th guy to get that, like, signing spot, the last spot, because I was coming so late, being that Monmouth had done that to me. And then New Jersey changed its state rules from 6 post-grad to 4, and they weren't doing any special favors for anybody. They just kept the first 4 that signed, you know, I mean, which is the right way to do it. So, yeah, that's really what had got me to Kane, was the Hun falling through.
Okay. I've been to the facilities, by the way. They're, like, pretty crazy. And, like, I know, like, their personal training, like department is like they're pretty good, right?
Like, oh yeah, trainers? Like the physical therapy type, like yeah, PT. Yeah, they're really, it's a really good program.
Yeah, that's what I remember. But our one of our trainers is doing like a post grad at Nichols, and she went to Kane actually, and she loved it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but all right.
So then so then you transferred to a JUCO school after that, right?
Yeah, Brookdale. That was in New Jersey as well, to only play basketball.
Right, okay. So that year you just played basketball, you didn't play football?
Yeah, no, because when I was at Kane, I had medical redshirt in my freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
Then my redshirt freshman year, I had started at outside linebacker on like a package, which was pretty much like almost 50-50 playing time with the actual starter, but not, you know, a little bit less. And then I was on the basketball team for a day, and I had a little run-in with the coach. I got kicked off. So then I was just like, man, like, I don't – well, because the thing was, Kane wanted to switch me. So I went in as a tight end, medical redshirted. We had a scrimmage against Princeton before I had got hurt that year. And I was at DN for that, and I hadn't played it at all prior. And I had, like, two sacks, like, five TFLs, a pass breakup. Like, I had a good game, you know what I mean, against Princeton. So they switched me. And then that second year is when I had the playing time for real. And then, yeah, once the whole basketball thing fell through, I was just like – because they wanted to switch me. They had me going to three tech. Defensive end. They wanted to move me to offensive tackle the next year. Like, I would have been playing a new position every year, and I just couldn't get better as a player. So, and then being kicked off the basketball team, I pretty much figured, like, you know, I got to find something else to do. That's really what made me leave Kane. Right. But picking Brookdale, I had saw one of my AAU coaches at a Monmouth basketball game over winter break when I had just left, and he was like, shit, come play for me at Brookdale, because he was an assistant coach there then. And that's kind of what made me pick that.
Right, right. That's interesting, yeah. I went to three schools as well, so I know how it is going from school to school, you know?
Yeah, it's wild, bro. You meet a lot of new people, though, so that's pretty cool. I liked it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I tell people. Like, it was crazy going to three schools, but the amount of people you meet is awesome. Just the different coaches you get to meet, and you know, like you said, there's different teammates and everything like that. So, so then once you got to Merrimack, what was the biggest adjustment that you had to deal with there?
I mean, it was really just going from, like, because at Kane, I ended up never playing any tight end, and then I only played tight end my senior year of high school, so it was just kind of a tough transition going from only playing defense to only playing basketball, and then being on, you know, scholarship level coming in as the starting tight end. And it was just more so mental. It was just tough picking up on, you know, relearning my technique, learning a whole new playbook, getting the feel for just playing tight end again, even running a route. You know what I mean? I was pretty much starting from square one at a high level of football. That was really the toughest part for me by far.
Right, right. Makes sense. So then after senior year, that's when you started to draw some interest from the NFL teams, right? So what was it – how was that whole process like, preparing for the pro days and just having that interest from the different teams that were looking at you?
Yeah, man, it was kind of crazy because – my whole life, that was always my dream, to play in the NFL. It was just my true passion. And I kind of didn't really know. I knew I wanted to pursue it after the season, but I didn't really know what was going on with that. And then I remember it was our last game at New Haven. I had caught a touchdown, and my parents were at the game. My uncle was watching it online, like live. And he called my dad. He was like, did you know the Patriots were scouting Dylan? My dad was like, what? He was like, they just said on like the broadcast some shit like, oh, did you see that route by Salva? That explains why the Pats want him, or the Pats are scouting him. And that was kind of like my intro to it. I had no clue. And then it kind of just all snowballed from there. I mean, I had 2 bowl invites, the National Bowl and the College Gridiron Showcase, which was like, the National Bowl was D2 and D3.
Yeah.
And the Gridiron Bowl, I mean, I was lining up with dudes on Bama, North Carolina, Auburn. So that was crazy. I did well there. More scouts started calling. A bunch of agents started calling. Found a good agent. That was probably the hardest part, just believing who to believe in. You know what I mean? So many dudes are full of shit. Right. And then, so after that, I just started to get a lot of interest from a bunch of teams. Going into pro day, that like my thing was I wasn't utilized in the pass game like I should have been in college, but I had a great run blocking film. Like I was dumping dudes almost every play, so I knew I had that. But I knew what could set me apart was just my love for the weight room and how I just like getting better at that just made me feel better about myself and life. You know what I mean? So that drive that I had really exploded my pro day numbers. Being that I wasn't shown on film as a threat in the passing game, I ran a 4.66. That was my best clock time. I had 28 bench reps, 38.5-inch vert, a 10.2 broad. I forget the shuttles, to be honest. I ran my routes real well. I didn't drop a single ball out of all 3 pro days I did. I did Holy Cross, Merrimack, and then the Seahawks wanted me to be at Wagner's.
Wow.
I did the Giants and Jets local day. At the Jets, I was one of only 6 players to be kept after to get full blood work done, piss in a cup, like with the team doctors, all that. They had actually called my agent up the day before the draft telling him I was on the board to be their 6th or 7th round draft pick. So then I was like, shit, like I, you know what I mean? Like, this is real. Like, that's when it was actually real to me. It was the day before the draft when I heard that. And then I think the dude's name was Hendron or Heron from Miami University. He passed his physical. He had torn his ACL the season prior, and he fell, and they took him instead of me. And that's kind of when I only had an option between the Redskins and the Falcons. I think that was the only 2, maybe the Lions for the rookie minicamp. And then, yeah, like leading up to that, it was just like a roller coaster, bro, nonstop. I mean, you don't really know what's going to happen. I ended up with 18 teams interested in me and having me on their board. But, you know, and I was like the 32 ranked tight end in the draft class. So, yeah, it was just a crazy ride, bro. I mean, I enjoyed every second of it. I worked as hard as I possibly could have. So,
right.
Control is not control.
So, what was it like just, like, being signed to – was Washington the first team that signed you?
Yeah, for rookie minicamp.
So, what was that actually like? Because, like, obviously not a lot of people have that chance to just, like, go from D2 – to that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I was actually pissed off because, like, my agent even called me after the draft and he was like, I don't know what happened. He was like, I really, like, 1,000,001% knew you were going to get drafted or signed, mainly signed. The drafting would have been crazy, but – and, like, I felt the same. So I was kind of pissed off and had a chip on my shoulder. So I wasn't even excited or happy about it. I kind of just went in there like, you know, I'm going to enjoy the fact that I get to play football at the highest level, which is my dream, but I'm not going to be happy for a second. Like, I'm going to come out here and try and dog everybody I go against. And, you know, I ended up going against 2 of their draft picks in one-on-ones. I beat both of them pretty bad. I pancaked an outside linebacker in team period. Like, I had a good – I dropped 1 ball. That was the 1 ball I dropped out of every pro day in camp. I burned the safety on a slant, and I dropped it. that kills me to this day, but whatever. But it was pretty surreal when Coach Phillips, the tight end coach, said to us, he was like, no matter what happens after this, you're an NFL player today and for the rest of your lives. Like, he said that on day one. He was like, that's something I'll never even get to experience because I didn't make it this far. And that was kind of the only time I smiled the whole camp about actually being where I got, you know what I mean? Because I earned every second of that. And that was probably the most surreal part, was just hearing an NFL coach say that and then knowing, like, yeah, like, I am an NFL player, you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, I mean, it was a great experience overall. I loved it. I wish I would have gotten signed permanently, but, you know, that's what happens, man. It's a business, so they got to do what they got to do too.
Yeah. Yeah, but like what Zach said, just to even get to that point after coming from a D2 school, from transferring from three, like going to three colleges, like that's pretty impressive as it is, getting to that point. Like you, like what the coach was saying, he didn't even get to experience, and there's so many people that don't even get close to that. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like you said, it's still awesome.
Yeah, definitely, bro. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. So once. So you were on Washington, you were on the Falcons and the Giants, right?
The Giants and Jets was local days.
Oh, the local ones. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you were around any of those teams, was there anyone that once you got there you were kind of starstruck by, or like, damn, like I'm really out here with whoever it was?
Nah, you would have thought so. I would have thought so, but like I was even in the room, I was in the game room by myself, and Teddy Bridgewater walked in because he was on the Jets then. He started playing pool by himself. And I kind of just looked at him. I was like, oh, congrats on the contract, bro, because he had just gotten a new nice contract with them. He just said, thanks, man. Like, that was that. It was kind of, you know, with the Redskins, like, Darius Geis was my locker buddy. He was right next to me. So, you know, like, that's their – I think he was their number one draft pick, the running back from LSU.
Yep, yep.
And then, you know, the Jets, I sat – I think it was the – or maybe it was the Giants. I sat at the lunch table across from Brandon Marshall when he was there. Dante Hall was eating in the calf next to me with the Redskins. It was actually the day he retired. He was eating with us before he had announced that. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, you kind of, once you get there and you think you know you belong there, it's kind of just like, ah, they're just other guys. They already went through the same exact shit I did. So I wasn't really starstruck. Nah.
That's a great answer. So for the NFL training camp, like what is it just like there? Like, is it just going from drill to drill, learning the plays? Like, is it more intense than college?
Oh, yeah. So the first day you get there, they hand you the playbook, and you have to learn it all on your own the night before. And when you get on the field the next day, like, you got to be – you know, they call the play out. You got to know where you got to be and what you're going to do. So that was – day one was pretty brutal for me because I'm the type of player that I need to actually do it before I, you know what I mean, before I know it all. So day two was a breeze. I didn't have a single MA, but that was tough. The meetings are locked in. Like, there's no fucking around. Everyone's like, the coaches are up your ass. They're watching everyone's eyes. But aside from that, it was pretty, like, the coaches are cool, man. It was pretty laid back outside of practice. And even during, they weren't, you know, up your ass, like grilling you. They wanted you to do your best so they could get their best evaluation of you at the same time. So yeah, it was up tempo, but it wasn't what everyone said it is. Like, oh, this is like a whole new game. It's not even like football anymore. It's like, you know, super speed, this and that. I think if you prepare the right way and you take every second of preparation serious and you go full tilt leading up to that, it really wasn't much different to me than a Merrimack camp, honestly.
Wow, that's crazy.
What about your experience with the Spring League? How was that? I think you played with my boy Big Steve, right? Steve Evans?
Who's that?
The lineman from North Alabama.
Maybe, bro. There was so many dudes. Yeah. If they weren't on your team, there's no shot you would remember them unless you became, like, good buddies outside of the actual field work. The Spring League was cool. I met some great dudes. I mean, you guys know whenever you're playing football, you're always going to meet dudes. Like, the locker room's the best part. Everyone says that. So I met some good dudes there. I mean, Sean Oakman was my roommate there. Yeah, so we were chilling a lot. He's a good dude, man. He's very misunderstood, to say the least.
Did you get to work out with him?
Nah, there was actually no gym. Me and my buddy Clayton, he was another tight end who he made it to the Seahawks out of a Division II school. They won, like, back-to-back-to-back national championships or some crazy shit. We got, like, a two-week pass to L.A. Fitness because we were there for, like, 16 days, bro.
Yeah.
But, I didn't get to work out with Sean. We ended up getting the same agent for a little bit, and we were supposed to be out in Texas training at the same facility doing one-on-ones and stuff, but some stuff fell through with our agent and stuff, but – yeah, I didn't get to work out with him. The dude really is 6'9", like 280, though, 285. Like, he's a big man, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But the Spring League, all in all, was honestly, like, a major letdown. The film really wasn't that credible. And there was only, like, three scouts there the whole time. Two CFL scouts came one day throughout the 16 days, and then one Texan scout. But dude, like, they stacked the team. Like, they put all the ex-NFL guys on my team. Like, we were all on the same team. So it was like me, we had Oakman, my buddy Clayton, that tight end, Lorenzo Malden, he's a former third round outside linebacker pick from Louisville to the Jets. Like, they just stacked it. And you know, obviously it was fun. We went undefeated, but it's like, I want to be blocking Lorenzo. The dude's a dog. Like, if I'm blocking him and we're smashing heads, that's going to be some credible film. And not to knock against Arena, because I did end up playing some Arena, but, like, it's not really getting me an NFL look if I'm just dumping some dude that played, you know, at a low Arena level. And that's not every guy. Like, some of those dudes were dogs. All of them were, but – that's the way the scouts look at it. That's not my opinion on them. They were all great players, but if a scout's looking at me going against a kid and he brings up his info and he's playing Arena in North Dakota or something, they're gonna, you know what I mean? They're not gonna give me the credit for what I'm doing on the field. And I think that's where the Spring League really lacked. And then, you know, not getting the scouts in, like, you need to get them there, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was a major bummer, but all in all, it was fun, man. You meet the guys, you get a chance to play football. You can never complain when you're playing football. So I had a good time.
Awesome.
So what got you into, like, we saw that you're a power lifter. What got you into that?
It was trying to think. Oh, so I was actually training with Mike at Exceed, and you know, I was trying to make a little comeback. I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I know what I want to do career wise outside of football. I already have that squared away and stuff, but we were training and I did a broad jump and my left leg slid out, so all my weight went on my right knee. And I've had issues with my right knee before. No surgery, nothing crazy, but it, like, really – it knocked my patella off track, and I couldn't really walk right for a few days, and it turned into, like, a week. And now I was just like, you know what, man? Like, if I'm getting hurt training for football, which has never happened to me in my life before, I need to take a step back, you know, just reevaluate everything that's going on in my life. And just go from there. And then I just started to think, like, you know, you've been an athlete your whole life. I need to compete or else I'm going to die. Like, I'll be nothing if I'm not competing in something. And I just thought, like, what really drove me to play? And that was the weight room. Like, I remember all summer getting ready for camp. The only thing on my mind was, what was I going to hit for max outs? Like, that was it. And that's what I trained for all summer. So I really just thought, like, you know, powerlifting, every competition you do, you're maxing out and you're getting that adrenaline rush and you're accomplishing something. You're getting stronger. You're beating out other dudes doing the same thing as you. Yeah. And that's kind of what really like drew me to that. I was bodybuilding and it was just so boring, like doing a million reps, just doing shit so you can't feel that muscle. And I was just like, this isn't for me. And then that's what got me into powerlifting.
I agree with that, by the way, with the bodybuilding and powerlifting thing. I think powerlifting is cooler, way cooler.
Yeah,
exactly.
What about, like, especially the crazy times you're in right now with COVID, like the pandemic, what advice do you have for athletes who might not have access to weight rooms depending on where they live, because there's still a bunch of restrictions and stuff like that, you know? So what advice do you have for those athletes who can't get to a weight room? So, like, what should they be doing to be getting stronger, staying in conditioning shape? Like, what advice would you have for them?
Yeah, I mean, so I mean, in Jersey there's still no gyms open. I'm fortunate enough where I have a couple machines and an Olympic bar downstairs where I can, you know, I can do my big lifts. But, you know, I mean, I even made a YouTube video of, like, home workouts you could do and, like, how to be able to do shit that's worth this shit. Like, you know, if you just find, like, a big-ass tree branch or a metal rod or a broom somewhere and you throw on a bunch of backpacks on the side of it and fill it up with as much heavy shit in your house as you can find. You can bench, you can curl, you can squat. Obviously, it's not the same, but you can work negatives, which is going to make you stronger, you know, counting down three, coming up three on any movement. There's plenty of shit you could do, surprisingly, just by finding stuff laying around the house. But I think the hardest thing is from dudes that I've talked to and been helping out that are in college is that, you know, and you guys know this as being players, when you go home for the summer, the first thing you do is you start back up at that training facility that you go to. You got those trainers there who are just drilling your ass into the ground every day. And even though you know what you're supposed to do and you know how to do it and you know how to go hard, it's almost nearly impossible to go 110% without someone making you do it. You know what I mean? But I would just say, with that being in mind, everybody's in the same boat for the first time in everyone's lives. Like, there's no dude who's struggling at home with money saying, well, fuck, man, like, I can't go to this facility that this rich ass dude trains at all summer. He has the advantage. Like, nah, football's going to happen. Everyone's in the same boat. So whoever's going to be the better players this year and the most prepared are going to be the ones who were the mentally toughest. Like, you can wake up at 10 a.m. every day, get 10 plus hours of sleep, go run 20 hill sprints till you're about to throw up, you're cramping, you're dogging like ass. You know what I mean? Like, you can make yourself do that. You can go run in the sand. You know, you can go to the beach while everyone's laying out and you can be that dude that's got the Tims on, running the sand. You know what I mean? Your technique might not be hit on as hard and you might not be doing the exact things you should be doing with someone over your shoulder, but I think if in the back of your mind the whole time you're thinking, well, shit, this dude, you know, you might be a D3 player, this dude at USC is in the same boat as you right now, bro, you can outwork his ass. Not that you're going to be playing against him, but I just think right now the mentally tough dudes are going to be the ones that come out this season and really, you know, you're going to take somebody's job because a lot of dudes are probably dogging it, drinking, smoking, doing all that. And, you know, so I would just say wake up every day with a purpose. Everyone's got free time. A lot of people can't even work right now. So, you know, write down your goals, plan out your days, your weeks. Just if you get shit done, you're going to be in a great spot come camp time.
Exactly. That's what I've been trying to tell all my athletes, you know, who everyone's season's up for air. So I just tell them, we've been telling them, like, no matter what, football is going to happen again. So you have to continue training. Like, everything I've done up to this point is not going to matter if you just stop now. You got to continue that, because there's going to be a season again. It's just, like you said, it's whoever's mentally strong enough to keep that going and just keep adjusting during these wild times.
Yeah, exactly. If anything, it's an elongated off season. So in your mind, right, you should be like, shit, I could get 10 times better than any other off season. I can get my body right. I can eat good. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many positives to it, but I just feel like it's being clouded by all the negatives and the what ifs. But either way, I mean, whether it does start in August or it doesn't, or it starts in October, March, whenever, or not till next year, you have to be ready regardless, like you said. So there's really no excuse.
Exactly. And how important do you stress, you know, like eating healthy and everything like that? How important is that for athletes?
I would say that's probably the biggest thing, because I mean, nutrition is just not touched on enough in any program. Because I don't think people realize, like, there's a very big difference in 5'11", 280 pounds, 30% body fat, and 5'11", 280 pounds, 10% body fat. And I'm comparing like an Aaron Donald to a sloppy offensive lineman. You see how he dogs those dudes. So I just think, like, you know, cause especially with the linemen, a lot of them, they want to keep their weight, and you see the shit they put on Snapchat and stuff. They're eating, you know, cookie sleeves, raw cookie dough out the thing. Like, they're housing Ben and Jerry's. You know, you can put really good weight on and be a dog at